Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today.
Save big money at
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Let's bring in the jury. I've got the jury coming in.
All rise. Jurors entering.
Oh, get the witness back, please. Okay, please be seated. Members of the jury, I want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves, you did not do any investigation, and you received no information about this case. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that you have not been approached by anyone about this case. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that since you were last with us, you have not seen any media coverage about this case. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you very much.
If I may proceed, in your honor, my sincere apologies. I just have one more question for you at the bench. If I may. I don't have any further questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
When you went to the hospital, did Ms. Beattie ever introduce herself to you?
No, I never met her in person.
And so when you were there as the child's advocate, Ms. Beattie was not around?
Correct.
No further questions.
Okay. Any further questions?
No, no.
Members of the jury, do you have any questions? Okay. If the attorneys can approach. Okay. Members of the jury, most of the questions that you presented, I'm not going to be able to ask. But the question I can ask is, ma'am, the jury wants to know, was Miss Beattie always listening or included in all your calls between Maya Kowalski and Beata Kowalski?
Yes, sir. She was the point of contact for scheduling and facilitating the phone call to happen, and she was on it the entire time.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Anderson, anything further? Mr. Whitney, I apologize.
No, nothing further.
And may this witness be allowed to go back to Georgia?
She can, although we'd like to not fully release her.
Okay, so the answer is yes, you can go back, but at some point you might have to come back. But the lawyers will be in contact with you about that, okay?
Okay, thank you. Okay,
thank you, have a safe drive back. And Mr. Anderson, Mr. Whitney, your next witness, please.
Dr. Sally Smith by video deposition.
Okay.
And just to inform the court, I'm told there's 5 different tapes. We'll have some breaks here.
Okay.
Watch this.
I did. How's that? Alexis, 20% down, 20% up. I went to school for that.
Just don't ask me to turn it back on.
Could you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give in this case is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
State your name for the record.
Sally Marie Smith.
And you were a pediatrician working for the state in the case of Maya Kowalski. Is that true?
I was the medical director for the child protection team, providing a medical evaluation for Maya Kowalski, yes.
Following medical school, what did you do?
I did a pediatric residency. I did a year and a half of residency training at All Children's Hospital in St. Petersburg from 1984 to the middle of the end of 85. And then I transferred back to St. Louis University at Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital. And I did the remaining year and a half of my pediatric residency there and completed that in 1987.
In your residency program, how long did you spend? And you rotate through a number of different areas, do you not, in your residency? All right. How long did you spend in pediatric psychology or psychiatry?
Again, did not look at my transcripts before I came here. I really have no idea specifically. I'm sure we had training in pediatric psychology and psychiatry as part of multiple components of the residency program, but I don't specifically remember like how many weeks or if I did a specific rotation or something like that.
Okay. And do you remember any of your professors? Or I guess they're sort of they're doctors that are also adjunct to the medical school that you were working with, or were you just? I'm trying to figure out the setup there. And my question really is: were there any doctors who are also professors that specialized in pediatric psychology or psychiatry that you worked with over this residency?
I don't recall.
Okay. Okay. After your residency, what did you do?
I did an additional year of fellowship training in ambulatory pediatrics at St. Louis University, Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital.
What is ambulatory pediatrics involved?
It was fellowship in, ambulatory is people who are not hospitalized, essentially. And so I worked in clinics with various mentors, learning to essentially teach academic pediatrics in the clinic setting. I don't recall that I did any specific inpatient work as well.
What is academic pediatrics?
pediatrics that is sort of focused on education and training of medical students and residents and interns and in many programs in academic medicine, there are also research components to the work.
The past 17 years, you've worked at Suncoast Center in one form or another, correct?
I don't believe so. I don't think that the Suncoast Center has held a child protection team contract that entire time. There was another agency called Help a Child that held the contract from the Department of Health when I initially became the medical director. I've worked with the child protection team since 1990.
Okay. So when it says medical director, Suncoast Center, child protection team, were you working for Suncoast Center from 2002 to the present?
I've been the medical director of the child protection team from November 2002 to the present. It probably should actually say Department of Health rather than Suncoast Center, because Suncoast Center is just the agency that holds the contract.
Okay. Well, Suncoast Center started at ACH in 1979, did it not?
No, that was the child protection team, not the Suncoast Center. I'm going to guess it was around 2007-2008 that the Suncoast Center took over the contract for the child protection team, but I don't remember exactly when that was. I'm not sure, you know, sort of what corporate name was, assigned or that kind of thing. When I worked with the child protection team in 1990, it was, I mean, their signage and things said Suncoast Child Protection Team.
Okay. Well, when did you return to All Children's Hospital after, I think you were at University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey, New Brunswick, New Jersey, from 88 to 90?
Correct.
And then you were back at All Children's Hospital, it says a staff appointment from 1990 to present?
No. Well, my active medical staff, yes, has been 1990 to the present. I was employed by the hospital from 1990 to 2002.
Okay.
In the general pediatrics division.
So you went residency for a period of time, then you left, then you came back and started with ACH?
In 1990, when I moved back to Florida, I took a faculty position with what was then All Children's Hospital, yes.
Okay. Would you agree with me then that you do not hold yourself out as an expert in pediatric psychiatry?
No, I do not.
Would you agree with me then that you do not hold yourself out as an expert in pediatric psychology?
I do not.
Would you agree with me then that you do not hold yourself out as an expert in pediatric neurology?
No.
I mean, you're agreeing with me.
I do not.
Would you agree with me that none of these, none of your training has involved an in-depth analysis of the diagnosis and treatment of RSD or complex regional pain syndrome?
I agree.
Now, at the very bottom of 33, the next to last couple lines is, the purpose is to solicit the medical director's opinion first, and then the statewide medical director's opinion, only if this is not sufficient. See that?
You're asking me if it says that?
In Maya Kowalski's case, was the medical director's opinion, was that you, or was there somebody above you, a medical director, whose opinion you could seek? Now, at the very bottom of 33, the next to last couple lines is, the purpose is to solicit the medical director's opinion first, and then the statewide medical director's opinion, only if this is not sufficient. You see that?
Form.
Yes, I see it.
I mean, who's the medical director there?
That would be me.
Okay. And then the statewide medical director's opinion.
Yes.
Was that ever, in Maya Kowalski's case, did you ever seek the statewide medical director's opinion?
I did recently, but I don't recall if I did at the time of the evaluation or not.
Tell me about who that was recently or is recently and what opinion you sought.
Dr. Bruce McIntosh reviewed the file and I didn't personally seek his response?
Let me find your report here real quick. Page 8?
Yes.
All right. So, Johns Hopkins All Children's electronic medical record, what does that mean?
Well, as an active medical staff member for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, I have access to the electronic medical record. So I reviewed that, many documents from that medical record in compiling my report and reviewing the case. I did not print everything, so what you received of my medical records that have Johns Hopkins All Children's headings on them would be what Dr. McIntosh received.
All right, so Dr. McIntosh, according to you, received the medical records of Dr. Kirkpatrick, is that right?
Yes.
Dr. Hannah?
Yes.
Is that right? Dr. Barr, is that right?
Yes.
Dr. Wassenauer, is that
yes.
right? He did not receive records from Dr. Chopra. Is that right?
Not to my knowledge.
Or Dr. Cantu?
I was never able to obtain records from Dr. Cantu, so I don't have them and did not have them to provide to him.
And so you are familiar with the fact that Drs. Hannah, Kirkpatrick, Barr, and Wassenauer all diagnosed or concurred with a diagnosis of complex regional pain syndrome, right?
That appears to be correct.
Tell the jury whether you believe that every mother that fails to remember to tell a new treating physician the entire medical history is committing an act of child abuse.
No.
Tell the jury whether you believe that every mother that fails to follow the directions of the doctor or the prescription to the letter is committing an act of child abuse.
No.
But in this case, you believe that Beata was.
Upon review of all of the extensive medical records, review of all of the observations of the child in the hospital, review of the, unconventional treatments, including hyperbaric oxygen treatment and high-dose ketamine treatment repeatedly, it was my opinion that there was ample evidence to support a diagnosis of medical child abuse. And it appeared most likely that Mrs. Kowalski was the primary one who was resulting in, or I don't know what the term is, it's not probably instigating, but initiating or whatever, the child abuse. Perpetrating the child abuse, let's put it that way.
Just the prednisone issues, the stuff we've been going over the last hour. Do you think that was an act of child abuse?
There was an element combined with everything else of child abuse in the prednisone utilization and administration to the child, yes.
Other than this case, have you ever testified in court or by deposition in a case involving CRPS?
No.
Expert in pain management?
No.
Okay. Did you ever have a conversation with Dr. Kirkpatrick at any time in 2016 in which he offered to have you come over to his office and he would demonstrate to you with Maya or with another patient the testing that could be done to objectively determine the degree of pain a patient was in?
No.
You never talked to him about that?
No.
Okay. Did you have a conversation with Dr. Kirkpatrick in which he told you not to move forward with Munchausen by proxy or another allegation of
child abuse?
I do recall that he made some such recommendation to me. I don't recall the exact words.
Did he express to you that there was an organic basis for this child's pain?
I don't remember specifically that he, you know, spelled that out. I remember, at least in general terms, that I asked him about incongruities in the child's presentation, and he reported that that was a manifestation of allodynia prior to touch, conditioned to expected pain from human touch, and that there was a fear of pain component that explained the child's way that she was moving around and touching things and doing things, but then couldn't do those exact same maneuvers when a physician or a therapist asked her to do so, or things were touching her skin, and then when somebody had a light touch on her skin, that she would scream in pain when a similar amount of touch was not triggering that kind of response. So I remember that he and I had some discussion about that phenomenon. A fear of pain component can be explained, and therefore it was my impression that he was telling me that information as a way to indicate that there was no other possible diagnosis in the case, perhaps.
Would you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Dr. Kreisman, a physician at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, examine Maya and note that she is not in any pain.
That was his assessment that day, yes.
And that she is not moaning, she is smiling, she is interactive, she is very engaged. Is that what he found?
That's what he has documented in this note that references his examination of her when she was at his office on May 11th with her father.
And at the bottom of that narrative, he says extremities show no clubbing, right?
That is correct.
What is clubbing?
So that is an abnormality of the distal fingers, essentially the area of the fingernails where the nail bed gets enlarged, and the fingernails often have an enlarged size across the tip of the fingers, typically related to chronic hypoxia or respiratory insufficiency.
It's also a specific symptom of RSD, complex regional pain syndrome, is it not?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. But you're not an expert in it, right?
I'm not an expert in complex regional pain syndrome.
And then he says she moves spontaneously in her wheelchair without incurring pain, right?
Yes, as was observed on other occasions.
Do you consider tachycardia to be an abnormality in a child this age?
It can reflect many, many different conditions in the child.
What is tachycardia?
Fast heart rate.
Okay. In last deposition, you said that a fast heart rate would be an indication of somebody being in pain, right?
It could be.
But you put no abnormalities noted on her exam. That's not really true from the actual record, is it?
Again, you probably should ask the person who made the documentation. They may be referencing that, contrary to most cases of complex regional pain syndrome, she did not have any color change of her extremities, sweating abnormality, deformity of her extremities that would provide objective evidence to support her reported diagnosis.
Let me show you what has been marked as exhibit. Dane.
Trying to find a date on this. 10-7.
And I'll reference you to, and I folded it over, the physical examination found on page 6 of 9, which is PLT 4074, and I highlighted under cardiovascular. Can you identify what that is first, what 15 is?
So this is the emergency center physician notes. I don't know, probably dictated by Dr. Bahar Posey in the emergency room. I'm sorry, what was the question?
Under the physical exam, does it note that under heart rate, she is tachycardic?
It does, and it states that her pulse rate was 134.
That's very high in a child of this age, is it not?
Well, 250 would be very high. It's elevated at 134.
Okay. That's not normal, is it?
Probably not.
Why did you put here in your report there were no abnormalities noted on her exam if she had an elevated heart rate that can be associated with a child in pain?
I don't know.
Okay. So, if you've got, if she's tachycardic, if she has problems with her eyes from the light, if she has her knees flexed into the abdomen, if she has anhedonia, of meaning she doesn't want to be touched, and she has lesions, you've got five symptoms of RSD right there, do you not?
No.
Okay. You're saying allodynia is not a symptom of RSD?
It is.
You're saying that, what do you call it when you're light sensitive? You're saying that's not a symptom of RSD?
No, I'm saying she was wearing eye covers. Was she photosensitive? I have no idea.
Okay. She did not want to be touched.
That is correct.
That's a symptom of RSD.
It could be.
All right.
Could be a behavioral manifestation.
Okay. And she had a fast heart rate, right, which supports being in pain, does it not?
It could.
Knees are flexed up into the abdomen. That can be an indication, right?
That's a positional description. I don't know what that has. I don't know if that has anything to do with CRPS criteria. It certainly isn't Budapest criteria, to my knowledge, that positioning yourself with knees up to the chest is confirmatory objective evidence of CRPS. I'm there to evaluate whether there is evidence to support a diagnosis of medical child abuse. I'm not there to complete my evaluation unless I have to by saying, I don't know, this is all the information, it could be either, you decide. My task as the child abuse pediatrician is to evaluate all of the medical records, look for every piece of objective evidence that I can, evaluate all of the information in context, look at objective observations both in the presence and in the absence of the alleged perpetrator, and try to put all that information together to assess whether or not there's sufficient evidence to support a diagnosis of medical child abuse.
Do you swear affirm the testimony about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Doctor, this letter was faxed to your office on November 3rd, 2016, correct?
Yes, I think we established that.
Why did you not mention Eagle's Wings history of treatment of Maya to the court on November 10th, 2016?
I don't know if I was asked about it or not.
How is it there's not a single mention of Eagle's Wings in your December 5th, 2016 report?
I don't know.
Again, your role and your stated goal was to be thorough, objective, and comprehensive in providing your report to the court, correct?
I provided this report in my role as a medical director for the child protection team. I believe it was eventually, presented to the court. At the time that I did this deposition, the report wasn't completed. So I don't know. I mean, I'd have to read the whole thing to see what, if any, discussion there was about Eagle's Wings Counseling Center in that. If somebody asked me about it or not, I don't know.
All right. Table 6.2, the last bullet point, recommendations for confirming factitious disorder by proxy. Consider covert video surveillance. Did you, in fact, consider covert video surveillance?
There was... I believe about there was a day or so there was some video taping of the child in her hospital room in an attempt to document the amount of movement that she was and the activities that she was undergoing in her room when people weren't present or when doctors weren't present.
Who directed the video surveillance?
They have. You know, a setup at the hospital.
Who directed the video surveillance?
I had discussion with the hospitalists. I don't remember exactly which one it was at that point in time about the possible benefit of that activity.
What did you find with the video surveillance?
There were numerous instances during the video which were comparable to numerous observations of the physical therapist, the nurses, the child life staff, the music therapy staff, et cetera, of the child moving around in bed, putting her feet in a normal neutral position, using her upper body, her lower body in various movements that provided concrete evidence in support of all of the observations that were made by numerous hospital staff.
How does any of this indicate child abuse?
How does any of what?
The concrete evidence of her video of Maya Kowalski in her hospital room.
That was related to, I mean, she's 10. So as the children get older, there can be a component of the child having been sort of participating in the medical child abuse. One of the ways that this occurred in this case was that the child had very inconsistent patterns of movement and reports of pain in response to certain movements and numerous other observations that were made by the hospital personnel. So this was an instance in which there was specific objective documentation that could be presented, if necessary, regarding what was being described and reported by numerous treating providers at the hospital.
How much involvement did you have in Maya's care from the time of her admission throughout her sheltering at Johns Hopkins?
So as of October 13th, you mean? I talked to several physicians. I think we've talked about that already. I reviewed information as I was preparing my report.
And beyond October 13th, up until the time of your report, how much involvement did you have in her care?
I was not a treating physician.
That's not my question. How much involvement did you have in her care?
I had conversations with some doctors.
Did you direct any actions?
I had discussion with several doctors at various points in time regarding things that could be considered to improve Maya's safety and her and the effort to have her have a more effective separation from her mother. There were a lot of times when she was Skyping with her mother, even though she was sheltered in the hospital. And so there were some discussions related to ways to minimize effects on her safety related to that.
Beyond discussions, did you direct any actions?
I don't believe so specifically, no.
Did the hospital look to you for direction?
I had discussions with several treating physicians at points along the way while she was admitted.
All right, let's look at what we'll mark as Exhibit 7. Dr. Smith, this is two sets of text messages between yourself and Dr. Major and Dr. Deese. So let's turn to the third page of the exhibit. And these were produced from your phone, correct, Dr. Smith?
Yes.
To orient the jury, as we look down to these text messages, we see, for example, in the second text message, reply from SS. Who would SS be?
Me.
And reply from PD. Who would PD be?
Paula Deese.
Okay. So you have her number in your phone?
Yes.
She's a saved contact?
I believe so.
Okay. Let's look at the second text from the bottom. This is a text from you to Paula Deese where you state, "We may need to try to monitor what she's doing online. I wouldn't put anything past her mother."
I'm sorry, where are we?
Page one of your text messages.
Oh, okay.
So when you called Cindy, what did you learn?
I don't know.
No independent recollection?
I went there and I talked to some people. I don't know if Cindy was one of them. And I vaguely recall looking at some of the stuff. I know we had some discussion about what they had seen and what they had, captured on the video in terms of whether I really looked at any long review of that. I don't believe I did, but I think that I did have a discussion with the people in that office about what they had observed, which, as I said earlier, was essentially documentation of many of the things that were being observed by the physical therapy, occupational therapy staff, child life, music therapy, in terms of inconsistencies about what Maya said she could do and the pain that actions would cause and what she would do when she was just acting on her own without somebody asking her to do something.
Doctor, do you also intermingle the professional life and personal life in your personal email address?
I don't use email related to patient care. I do receive email from, for example, the medical staff office on my personal email.
Okay. The medical staff office of whom?
Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital.
All right, Doctor, we've spent some time discussing your use of different devices and technology. I'd like to direct your attention now back to the text messages that was previously marked as an exhibit. The response to the fifth request for production from August 30th, 2019. And I'm on what's at the bottom, page two of these text messages. There's a message from October 21st, 2016 at 12:50 from you, doctor, to Dr. Deese. It says, "Hey there, just a few things about Maya. Do you have a minute for me to call? Do you recall what you wanted to discuss regarding Maya on October 21st, 2016?
No.
Do you recall how long the call was?
No.
You were in close contact with the hospitalist, Paula Deese?
I had a number of communications with her during the time that the child was in the hospital.
All right, it looks like an hour and 9 minutes later at 13:59, perhaps after discussion, you write, "Also, probably already in progress, but maybe get her off as many meds as possible." You're suggesting action to the hospitalist on the case at this point?
We were discussing elements of the case and the care.
Do you agree with the characterization that you're suggesting action on the part of the hospitalist?
As it says, I texted to her, probably already in progress, but maybe get her off as many meds as possible.
Would you agree that's a suggestion to the hospitalist?
That was part of our text discussion regarding recommendations. So I guess it was a suggestion. I don't know in what context.
And it's a suggestion related to Maya's medications while she's sheltered at Johns Hopkins, correct?
I believe I just read exactly what it says.
Do you agree with that characterization? It's a suggestion related to Maya's medications while she's at Johns Hopkins.
It was apparently a proposal related to her medications.
Is the decision whether or not to take Maya off of medications an evaluation?
As a child abuse pediatrician that provides assistance to many doctors at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, I sometimes discuss with them testing or treatments or things like that that may be helpful for either the child's well-being or for some element of my evaluation or things like that. In my view, the things that you're talking about here were discussions that I had with a couple treating physicians on a few occasions related to things that would improve my safety and assist in minimizing the effects of the medical child abuse.
Were they treatment decisions? Removing from medication. Is that a treatment decision?
That was just a discussion that I had with the treating physician in terms of whether or not she, you know, how she responded to my discussion or recommendations or suggestions to her. You know, that's up to the treating physician.
Is removal of someone from medication a treating decision?
If I had gone in and written the orders myself and directed exactly when a dose was decreased and what medication was discontinued when and things like that, those would be treating decisions. Having a discussion with this physician about a child that we were both providing medical care for and medical evaluation for is not, in my view, a situation in which I was providing treatment for the child.
So a treating decision is only made by the person that undersigns a particular progress note and not by the team that consults in making that treating decision?
All of these things, you know, we've talked about were something I said maybe, something I said consider, are you doing this, things like that. So I'm not directing them to do specific treatment. For example, with the removal of medications, that had already been ongoing and mostly completed when I asked the question. So clearly that wasn't based on something I told them to do. That was based on all of the treating physicians at the hospital, the pain management team, the hospitalists, and whoever. I said something about maybe get her off as many meds as possible. Yep, last med coming off today. So it's not like 7 minutes later they had removed all of her medications based on my recommendation.
My question is very simple. Is removing medications from someone a treating decision? Yes or no?
I don't know.
You don't know if removing someone from medications is a treating decision?
You know, it depends on all the circumstances and stuff in terms of whether that would be considered treating and, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, certainly that would be one thing that a treating physician might do.
Doctor, raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Has your position insofar or role with Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital changed in any way?
I continue to be a member of the active medical staff. That's my only relationship with Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. I don't really know anything about how people at the hospital have some sort of employment or relationship or title or anything.
Who would you say was the person that you had the most contact with during the period of Maya's placement at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital? Which doctor? Would it be Michelle Smith? I mean, who, would it be Tepa Sanchez? Would it be Malik Farad? Who would it be?
My recollection, I spoke to Dr. Tepa Sanchez about the child once. I spoke to Dr. Vos about the child either once or twice. I never spoke to Dr. Malik.
After Beata's suicide, did you receive a call, text, or any other communication from Dr. Major?
Dr. Major and I exchanged a few text messages on January 9th and January 10th of 2017, all of which I believe have been previously produced for you.
I'm wondering, when was the last time you worked on a committee other than the credentialing committee?
I was, most of the committees that I was on, I left in 2004 when I left my employment with the hospital. I was a community pediatrician representative to the Medical Staff Executive Committee from July 2011 to January of 2016. Since January of 2016, the only committee at All Children's that I've served on is the Standards and Credentials Committee.
And for your work, training residents and interns and otherwise consulting, how are you compensated?
I'm not. Oh. I'm a volunteer.
How many hours a week would you say that you devote to training Johns Hopkins residents, interns, and doctors?
Personally, close to zero. They primarily work with the nurse practitioners with our team.
Under you?
I supervise them, yes.
Without naming any names, can you give us some examples of the type of consulting you've been doing? I mean, what, you know, is it a broken leg? Is it a fever? Is it a child with hysterics? What kind of situations can you think of that you provide consultation?
With the residents and the medical students?
Right. Or the doctors.
Well, residents are doctors.
Granted, but
it's very random. So the children that come here are coming here for medical evaluation for alleged child abuse or neglect. If I'm here and I'm available and the nurse practitioner has seen an interesting child with them or might have a question about a child that they've seen and wants me to help review with them to guide them, then if the resident happens to be present, they might hear the discussion that we have. I would say over the 10 or 15 years on maybe a few occasions, I've recognized a resident that was here who I might have seen or I knew was involved with a child that I saw at the hospital, and we might discuss that child in more detail. But that's happened maybe less than a half dozen times over the last 10 years.
Now,
Let me ask you about the credentialing committee. Is that who determines who can strike it? What kind of credentials are you talking about there?
So anyone who is providing medical care at the hospital or in the outpatient setting in some circumstances has to be approved based on their credentials. Standards and credentials committees are standard at medical facilities, and that committee reviews resumes and recommendations and lists of procedures performed. We used to interview the people who were applying for privileges, but that's changed over the years. And now we only occasionally do direct interviewing. Then the committee makes a recommendation to the medical executive committee about whether a person who is applying for privileges with the hospital should be approved. Then the medical executive committee in turn presents the information to the board of trustees for approval.
Thank you. So this is what would be known as privileges. Is that the same thing?
These are people who are applying for practicing privileges at the hospital.
So when a doctor says, I've got privileges at that hospital, this is what you're approving?
We're reviewing their information and making a recommendation to the next step as I went through.
Does that mean yes? When the colloquially, when a doctor says, I have privileges somewhere, if they want to have privileges at Johns Hopkins, they are, your committee is one of the hoops they jump through?
They have been presumably vetted by our committee, and a recommendation to approve staff privileges has been made.
All right, let's start off with the employment. At the time that you rendered services for the medical protection team, who were you employed by back in 2016 and 2017?
At that time, as the medical director of the child protection team, I was employed by Suncoast Center Incorporated and the state of Florida Department of Health.
Were you employed by Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital during that interval of time?
No.
Specifically, plaintiffs have indicated that you completed your residency at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Is that true?
At the time that I was in the residency program from July of 1984 until the end of December of 1985, it was just called All Children's Hospital. It was not affiliated with Johns Hopkins.
Okay. And in briefing, I believe there's also a claim that you took a faculty position at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Is that true?
No, again, I worked for All Children's Hospital, not affiliated with Johns Hopkins in any way, from 1990 until, from July of 1990 until, I believe, November of 2002.
Have you ever been employed by Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
No.
Any claim to the contrary would be untrue?
Correct.
How does it work? It seems like from what you've testified previously that you were medical director of the child protective team, but that you were both employed by Suncoast and Department of Health. Can you kind of explain that dual employment arrangement?
Yeah, so as the medical director of a child protection team, I received direct compensation from the Department of Health for some components of my responsibilities. Typically, that has been about 17 and a half hours per week for the last, 10 or 15 years. The Suncoast Center Incorporated holds the contract for the Pinellas County Child Protection Team. I believe they have done so since 2008. And so, in addition to the direct compensation that I get from the Department of Health, I also am in the role of the medical director for the child protection team under Suncoast Center.
Over the years, my understanding is you've served on some committees with both All Children's Hospital and later Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And pertaining to the times that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, were you ever compensated by Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital for any committee service?
No. Back when I worked for the hospital, I mean, obviously I was participating in committees during time frame that I was, you know, an employee. But since November of 2002, I have not received any compensation of any sort for being on any committees.
So it's fair to say since around approximately the turn of the millennia, you have not been employed by All Children's Hospital?
Not since November 2002.
This Fifth Avenue Pediatrics listed on your CV from March 2003 to the present. What is Fifth Avenue Pediatrics?
That's the current name for the private practice that I'm a partner in.
Is that private practice affiliated in any way with Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
No.
My understanding is you were first contacted by a Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital physician in this case on or about October 8th of 2016. Do you recall that conversation?
Generally, yes.
At the time that you were reached out to by Dr. Tepa Sanchez, were you receiving that call as an independent medical staff physician?
If I understand the terminology correctly, yes.
Okay. Well, why don't you explain the difference between when you get involved in a case as a CPT versus if a doctor who needs a consult just contacts you?
Well, technically, the child protection team can be involved in a case if there is a report to the abuse hotline and either an investigator with Child Protective Investigations or law enforcement requests for us to provide a medical evaluation. There are some cases over the many years I've been involved with All Children's and now Johns Hopkins All Children's where that may or may not have occurred as yet, but a physician knowing my expertise in child abuse pediatrics and my capacity as an active member of the medical staff will contact me directly to ask questions about a case that they are seeing and seeking some guidance about whether or not there may or may not be abuse or neglect in the case.
Is there anything wrong or unethical about a physician who has suspicions reaching out to a child abuse pediatric such as yourself for some insight?
I can't imagine why there would be. For example, if somebody, if a doctor thinks that a child might have a heart problem, but they don't know exactly how to proceed with further pursuing that, they wouldn't be unethical to consult a cardiologist that's on the active medical staff for guidance. I think consulting an active medical staff member with expertise in child abuse pediatrics, in my view, would be the same thing.
Is it fair to say that when you were rendering services to in this case, that you were exercising your independent professional judgment?
Yes.
I guess my first question for you is, did you have a customary practice back in October 2016 and into 2017 as to how you would introduce yourself to a family where you're doing a CPT investigation?
Yes, I would state that I was Dr. Sally Smith and I'm a pediatrician with the child protection team.
Do you recall doing that with Beata Kowalski?
Yes, I've testified in depositions before that Mrs. Kowalski knew exactly who I was. The timing of the meeting with her, et cetera, was arranged a little bit ahead of time so that I knew she would be there and she knew I would be there. And I believe there were people from Protective Investigations that were present during the interview.
Do you actually recall introducing yourself as the medical director of the child protection team to Beata Kowalski?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And do you recall the same with respect to Jack Kowalski?
Yes.
You introduced yourself at that time as the medical director of the child protection team?
I may have introduced myself as a pediatrician with the child protection team. I don't know for sure that I said specifically medical director.
Sure. But you would have said something about your role with the child protection team?
Absolutely.
Earlier this year. Did you ever represent to Maya Kowalski that you worked for All Children's Hospital?
No.
Did you ever represent to Beata Kowalski that you worked for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
No.
Did you ever indicate to Jack Kowalski that you worked for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
No.
Did you ever prescribe medication for Maya Kowalski?
No.
Did you ever enter a progress note in Maya Kowalski's medical chart?
No.
Okay, to the best of your recollection, were you wearing a white lab coat with Johns Hopkins insignia on it when you met Maya Kowalski?
I don't have and have never had a lab coat with the Johns Hopkins insignia on it. I definitely wasn't wearing any such thing when I saw Maya Kowalski on either of the two occasions that I saw her.
Did you direct anybody with respect to Maya Kowalski's care and treatment at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
In the course of her hospital stay, there were times that I spoke with, I believe, Dr. Deese and Dr. Major with regard to the issue of medical child abuse and some things that could be considered in terms of demonstrations of movements that she was making that weren't consistent with the reported diagnosis of RDS, or what they're calling now complex regional pain syndrome. I had discussions with people about her course in the hospital, but I never was directing any treatment for her.
When you're working as, you know, the medical director of the child protection team for Pinellas County, is it common for you to discuss aspects of a patient with the patient's treating providers?
Yes.
And to your knowledge, did Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital ever hold you out as Johns Hopkins employee or agent while you were rendering services as the medical director of the child protection team in Pinellas County?
No.
Okay. And at some point, I understand you talked to a Dr. Anthony Kirkpatrick. Do you recall doing that?
Yes.
What do you recall about the conversations you had with Dr. Kirkpatrick, generally speaking?
So what I recall was that I think he called and left a message and I called him back. And the one thing I definitely remember was that he told me that I should not evaluate the child for Munchausen syndrome by proxy because that was not a problem in the case.
Okay. And did you consider his advice?
Well, I certainly heard him, but if I had heeded his recommendation, I would not have been doing my job. And
what do you mean by that?
Well, my job in this case was to respond to the request from the investigators and law enforcement as to whether there was medical evidence of child abuse or neglect in the case. And the only way to do that when the concern is Munchausen syndrome by proxy or medical child abuse is to gather extensive medical records as much as one can, review all of those medical records, put that in the context of information that may be directly obtained, such as the information I got directly from Beata. Ordinarily, one would consider one's physical exam, but in this case, I was unable to conduct a physical exam on the child. And then put all that information together to try to determine whether there's medical evidence of child abuse. So if on October 11th or 12th, when I, or 13th, when I spoke to Dr. Kirkpatrick, I had just said, oh, Dr. Kirkpatrick says there's no Munchausen syndrome by proxy here, so there must not be, I would not have been doing my job.
Do you know who Dr. James Lewis is?
Yes.
Who is he?
He's a neuropsychologist. At the time Maya was admitted to the hospital, he was a consulting neuropsychologist for the child protection team, and he provided a neuropsychological evaluation of her as part of the evaluation under the child protection team.
And as a, he's not a medical doctor, is he?
No.
I believe he's a PhD.
Correct.
Is it common for people like Dr. Lewis to perform a psychological evaluation of a child who's the subject or who's parents are the subject of an ongoing investigation?
He was doing so probably about 20 or 25 times per year at that time.
Well, do you know who he was employed by back when he consulted with Maya Kowalski?
He was contracted with the child protection team. And so when he would provide a neuropsychological evaluation for a child who had been, you know, referred to the team for assessment, I believe he would just submit a fee for service type invoice or something to Suncoast Center.
To your knowledge, was he employed by Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
To my knowledge, he was not.
Other than the grand rounds that you've discussed, do you have any evidence that you received any compensation from Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
I have not, Gase. Mm-hmm.
Well, that you were well, you never even told her that you were investigating her for allegations that she committed child abuse, did you?
Well, based on Mr. Hughes's report of her email, I think we could, you know, have a discussion of what she understood about what I was doing. But
no, this is about
I
you.
Introduced myself as a pediatrician with the child protection team. I did not go into major detail about what that meant.
And you did not do that with Jack Kowalski, did you? In that first interview with him, let me finish my question. In that first interview with him, you did not tell him that you were investigating him for possible allegations or no, under allegations of child abuse of Maya, did you?
I introduced myself as with the child protection team. I did not go into detail about what that meant.
And you did not tell Maya Kowalski in your version that you were investigating her parents for child abuse, did you?
I was taking a medical history from the people in terms of instructing them about that I was an investigator or something. I did not do that.
Just out of curiosity, what were you wearing when you interviewed the Kowalskis?
Business casual street clothes and a ID badge.
Well, okay. And what does the ID badge say on it? Does it have your name?
Yes.
And it has Johns Hopkins on it.
It has a logo for the hospital, as an ID badge would.
And what field of expertise did you hold at the time that Dr. Tepa Sanchez contacted you on October 8th?
Child abuse pediatrics.
Okay. And you had active staff privileges on October 8th?
I did.
You had privileges at Johns Hopkins?
Yes.
Is that the last one?
Yes, Ron.
Oh, he's so proud.
I'm so proud of myself. Can I see the attorneys for just a moment, please?
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
ChumbaCasino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.